buying bread.
My boyfriend never comes on time for our date.
You're driving me crazy.
Yes, tonight, petty grievances like these will be tried in the new Court of Justice.
Court of Petty Grievances,
where the petty thing is the important thing. On the basis of letters which you, the listeners, send us, you will be invited to appear in person before an impartial jury selected from our studio audience, and you will be given a chance to air your grievances against each other. The people you will hear tonight are real people who have written in and have requested to appear before our court. Tonight, Kiss and Make Up Court of Petty Grievances will award cash damages up to $600. And to make sure that each case receives a fair trial, presiding over our Court of Petty Grievances is His Honor, that fantastic judge, Milton Berle.
It's awfully hot for this wing. Order! Order in the court. In this court, everyone gets a square deal from this head man. Squarehead Burl, they call me. Ah, yes, the judge is in great shape tonight.
Full of ambition, eh, Judge Burl?
That's right, Bailiff. I'm just itching to show off my legal knowledge. Do you know that there wasn't a single law student at Harvard in the same class with me?
Well, how come?
I went to Yale. But I really studied. I studied very hard. I read practically every law book there is.
Say, Your Honor, have you ever read Blackstone's commentaries on civil and judicial procedure during the Roman era?
Did you say something?
I said, Judge, have you ever read Blackstone's commentaries of civil and judicial procedure during the Roman era?
No, no, no. I'm waiting for them to make it into a picture. I really am.
Well, let me ask you something else, Judge Burl. Yes. Can you name the presidents of the United States in their proper order?
Oh, naturally.
Well?
Well, let's see. First, George Washington. I'm right so far.
Yeah, so far you're doing great.
Well, stop confusing me. I'll start all over again. Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Adams, Madison, Adams.
Now, just a minute. Adams didn't keep going back to the White House.
He did, too. He kept forgetting his hat. You've heard of Adams' hat? Incidentally, Bailiff, I might surprise you someday. I may become the President of the United States.
Well, if you did, just what sort of president do you think you'd make?
I should say I'd be a cross between Van Buren and Johnson. Sort of a Van Johnson, you know what I mean? But enough of this banter. Bailiff, call the first petty grievance case.
Before I do, Your Honor, do you want to address the jury?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I won't talk, you hear me? You can't beat me because I ain't... address the jury. Oh, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've been selected impartially from our audience to serve on jury duty in our Court of Petty Grievances. And remember, the cases that you will hear tonight are real cases concerning real people. In reward for your services, when court adjourns, one of you will receive $5. And that ain't hay, so don't start horsing around. Now, who's been selected as the foreman of the jury?
I have, Your Honor.
You have, sir. What is your name, sir?
Paul Goodman.
Paul Goodman. And where are you from, sir?
Trenton.
Trenton. Okay. All right, sir. As foreman of the jury, you will have two important duties. One, after each case, you'll read to the court the verdict of the jury. Understand? And two, every time a juryman starts to fall asleep, pinch him. All right, Bailiff, let's hear the first petty grievance case.
Well, Judge, the first case on the docket tonight is the case of Mr. Hill versus Mrs. Hill.
How do you do? Mr. and Mrs. Hill, is that your name?
That's my name.
And, that's all right. And we want to welcome you to the Court of Petty Grievances. Where are you folks from?
Canada.
Toronto? Well, let's go. Well, take off your snowshoes and let's get started. Now, Mr. Hill, what business are you in, please?
I'm an ex-teacher.
You're a teacher?
Yes.
School teacher, then?
Yes.
I see. How long... There's a lot of ex-students in the court. How long have you been teaching, Mr. Hill?
A little over 30 years.
30 years. I spent 30 years in school myself. All in the fourth grade. Mrs. Hill, what did you do before you married, Mr. Hill?
I used to teach school, too.
You taught school?
That's right.
Where did you teach school?
In Nova Scotia, Canada.
Nova Scotia. Is that the Salmon Institute up there?
That's right.
Oh, you were a school teacher, that too. I see. And now you're doing the homework. Is that right? Well, now, Mrs. Hill, when you...
When your husband doesn't come home on time, do you send the truant officer after him or something?
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, being that he teaches the both of you, but you don't have to answer that. Mr. Hill, tell us how, just a little, I think the jury would like to know, how did you come to meet your wife?
I met her on the boardwalk at Asbury Park during a wind and rainstorm.
Oh, on a boardwalk in the, where was that?
Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Well, how did you happen to meet each other?
Well, she was looking at the waves and meditating, and I was walking on, and I saw her.
Oh, I see, I see. You mean you spent 6 months on the boardwalk in Asbury Park during a rainstorm?
Oh, no, it was fair weather sometimes.
Oh, I see. Well, it doesn't seem as if you two nice people have any grievance or anything, or, but one of you must have. You wouldn't be here. Well, which one has the grievance?
I have the grievance, Your Honor.
You, Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Will you state it to the jury, please?
My wife insists on taking all my clothing and doesn't give me any choice in the matter at all. Even to my ties, and I'm pretty well fed up on the whole thing.
Yeah, now, wait a minute. I want to understand this. Your wife, it picks out all your clothes?
All my clothes.
Well, that's not very unusual, but I pick my wife's hats and dresses. She picks my clothes in my pocket. Now, Mrs. Hill, is it true that you pick out all your husband's clothing?
Yes, Your Honor. I do help select my husband's clothes. Because, as you know, a man is a very poor judge of materials and styles, and he needs his wife to help him select.
Ladies in the court, quiet, please. What did you say, Mrs. Hill?
And he needs his wife to help him select his clothes.
I said, but why do you do it? Why do you pick
Well, because I think what I pick for him is much nicer than what he would choose to select.
Oh, what have you got to say about that?
Well, Your Honor, you know that all the greatest designers of clothes in the world, both men and women, have all been men.
Oh, sure, sure. Some of the greatest clothes designers are men. Hart, Shatner, Marx, all those people. Mrs. Hill, what do you think of your husband's taste in picking a wife?
Well, I'll leave that out.
You'll leave that out, huh? Well, Mrs. Hill, what sort of clothes do you think that Mr. Hill looks best in?
Well, I think the plain, conservative type because his hair is white and it adds to his personality.
Well, what kind of clothes do you think you should wear? Please?
Oh, herringbone and shark skin and plaids and checks and flashy stuff.
Flashy stuff.
Yeah.
Could there be any reason that you don't want him to dress loud on account of the girls flirting with him or something?
Oh, no, not with that gray head.
How old are you, Mr. Hill?
59.
I see. You want to look like 26.
36.
What'd you say?
36.
The judge tells the jokes. Mr. Hill, that suit that you... That suit that you're wearing now, who selected that one that you have on?
Well, I picked the coat, and my wife picked the pants.
I suppose the shoes were won in a raffle or something. Mr. Hill, did you pick Mr. Hill's clothes before you got married?
Oh, no, not exactly at that time.
You were just courting each other, huh? And you had no say over picking his clothes then?
I wouldn't say I did, no.
I see. Mr. Hill, does your wife ever try to influence you in picking things other than clothes?
Oh, yes, Your Honor. She picks my food and stuff. Makes me eat salad and spinach and
you
beans
don't like
stuff
that
I hate.
No. When you have a stomach ache, which ones of you get the pain? Who gets the pain?
Well, invariably, I get the pain.
Yeah, you... What do you mean? All right, evidence is presented. Now, the case goes to the jury. As I see it, the question here is, a woman may have the right to pick a husband's clothes, but does she have the right to wear the pants? Now, let's put the case before the jury and find out their verdict. Foreman of the jury, what is the verdict?
The jury has voted 10-2 in favor of Mr. Hill.
10-2 in favor of Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill has won the case with 10 jurors in his favor and received court damages of $100. Now, Mrs. Hill...
Don't thank me. Thank the jury.
Mrs. Hill, you seem to be such a lovely, intelligent person, and I know that you'll be a very good sport. And in the future, you'll let Mr. Hill select some of the clothes that he's going to wear. Would you do that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is it fair? That's right?
Yes.
All right. Now, in the tradition of our court, Mr. and Mrs. Hill, you must kiss and make up. Lovely couple. You know, You know, bailiff, when it comes to men's clothing, I'm just as snappy a dresser as Adolph Manjou. As a matter of fact, they used to call me the Adolph Manjou of Manhattan.
What made them stop?
Adolph Manjou. Professional jealousy, of course. Well, I think you better call the next case, bailiff.
All right, Judge. The next case on your docket this evening is the case of Mr. Wilson versus Mr. Coyle.
Mr. Wilson, Mr. Wilson, you, which one is Mr. Gentleman?
I am right here.
What is your first name, sir?
Archie Wilson.
Archie Wilson, I see. And I see you're in service, is that right, Mr. Wilson?
That's right.
And your name is?
Johnny Coyle.
Johnny Coyle. Your Coyle is getting mixed up there a little. Johnny Coyle. Well, all right. We're not here to kid you or anything. We're here to settle a petty grievance. Now, where do you live, Mr. Wilson?
Yonkers, New York.
Yonkers, New York. No coaching from the audience. And you live, where do you live, Mr. Coyle?
Yonkers, New York.
Oh, the both of you live in Yonkers, same neighborhood.
He lives right over me. Same apartment.
He lives over you up there? Mr. Wilson, Mr. Coyle, what business are you in?
Plastic work, you know.
You fix noses?
No.
Oh, plastic work. Oh. What is plastic noses? Work, what is that?
Well, it's really out material and cut it up for the girls to make garment bags, food bags, aprons.
That's in plastic. Don't they make the plastics out of material?
Yes.
They do, huh? I wish you'd have said that because I wanted to say this. I used to love fooling with chemicals in high school, too. There was ethyl alcohol, ethyl chloride, ethyl Schweinhofer. She was very cute. Mr. Wilson, will you tell the court what is your occupation, please?
I'm a truck driver, Judge.
A truck driver?
That's fine.
You drive a truck, huh?
That's
fine. Reminds me, I got to write a letter to my mother-in-law. Now, how long do you two know each other, you gentlemen?
I know him about 15 years.
15 years. You didn't happen to meet on a boardwalk in Asbury Park.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Now, well, which one has the grievance? You, Mr. Wilson?
I have the grievance.
You, Mr. Wilson?
That's right.
You state it to the jury, please.
Well, you see, Judge, I drive a 2.5-ton truck around every day, and when I get home at night, I'm a little tired.
Yeah,
I have a little stuff to eat, and I want to get some slack time.
You want to get what? You want to get what?
I want to get some slack time, Judge. You know.
Slack time?
That's right. You know, hit the slack. Yes. Hit the hay.
Oh, hit the hay. You want to go to sleep?
Yeah, you can say that again.
Oh, yeah. What'd you say?
You can say that again.
You want to go to sleep. I said it again. Back time. That's first time. And go ahead. Continue with your grievance, please.
Well, it's just simply this, that when I get home, I'm tired. I'm want to hit the psych.
Yeah.
This guy upstairs is bouncing dumbbells all over the joint.
I want to
understand. Skipping rope.
Yeah.
He's punching a bag.
Oh, he has a real physical culture place.
He's got the joint jumping.
Now, Mr. Coyle, is this all true, that you make all these noises and everything upstairs?
That's right, Your Honor.
Why do you do that, may I ask?
Well, see, I'm all run down. I've been to the doctor.
Yeah,
and he advised me to continue this training to build myself up.
Yeah, you have to be built up. And go ahead, continue.
See, at one time I was a pretty good athlete, see, and
yeah.
I let my training go,
yeah.
Run me down, and I had.
And that is the reason you do all this training, because you've been run down.
That's right.
I see. Well, Mr. Wilson, since you have the grievance, suppose you tell the court what happens when you try to get some, grab some of that snack or sack or something, wouldn't it?
Well, as soon as I try to grab some sack time, I try to reason with the guy. You understand what I mean?
What do you do?
I pound on what do you call it? The roof?
Yeah. Well, how
I'm
do you
knocking
pound?
on a pipe. I'm telling you, the guy's...
You get more exercise than he does. Yeah, well, Mr. Wilson, did you ever try reasoning nicely with Mr.
Yeah, I try to reason with the guy, but it's no good. I've been asking him nice for about 2 or 3 months, but it's no soap.
It's no soap. Well, Mr. Mm-hmm. Coyle, why don't you go into some outdoor sports like golf or something or water polo or something instead of making all that noise?
No, that's too much trouble, Judge.
Why?
I like to do it home, man.
You're doing it?
Yeah, golf and stuff I can't do home.
You can't play golf home?
No.
You go out and play golf. When I play golf, I always wear 2 pair of pants. In case I get a hole in one. Now, look, the evidence is presented. The case now goes to the jury. As I see it, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there are 3 good reasons why Mr. Wilson must get used to Mr. Coyle's noise-making activity. 1, Mr. Coyle is entitled to some pleasure. 2, Mr. Coyle is acting on his doctor's order. And 3, Where can Mr. Wilson find another apartment these days? The case now goes to the jury for their verdict. All right, foreman of the jury, what is the verdict?
The jury has voted 8-4 in favor of Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson has won the case with 8 juries in his favor and received court damages of $80. Now, Mr. Coyle, you both received a fair and square trial. And I think that you ought to promise Mr. Wilson that you'll go a little easier on your muscle-building activities. Will you do that, please?
I do.
Fine. Now, in addition to the court of petty grievances, you must kiss... No, you can't. You better shake hands and make up. Shake hands. There, look. Bailiff, I now declare a temporary recess in the court. Are the court stenographers present?
Present, Your Honor.
Murphy sisters, have you taken the note?
Here are our notes, all typed up neat. We'll not send to you with a solid beat. I drove a herd of cattle down from old Nebraska way. That's how I come to be in the state of Iowa. I met a girl in Iowa. Her eyes were big and blue. I asked her what her name was. She said,
Sioux City Sue.
Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue. It is red, eyes are blue. I'd swap my horse and dog for you. Sioux City Sue. Sioux City Sue. There ain't no gal as true as my sweet Sioux City Sue. But still I started courting that sweet Sioux City Sue. The first time that I stole a kiss, I called her stealing too. I asked her, did you love me? She said, indeed I do this. Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue, Sioux City Sue. Your hair is red, your eyes are blue.
Done, Murphy sisters. You know, Bailiff, they're very cute girls. Why don't you take one of them out sometime?
Oh, I can't, Judge Burrell. You see, I'm going steady with one of the Johnson quadruplets.
The Johnson quadruplets?
Yeah.
I know them.
You do?
Of course. Do you go out with Eleanor, the knock-kneed one with the buck teeth?
No.
Now, is it Gertrude, the bow-legged one with the bald spot?
No.
Well, then it must be Sarah, the cross-eyed one with the mustache.
No.
Oh, I know. You go out with Susie, the ugly one. Bailiff, call the next petty grievance case.
The next petty grievance case tonight, Judge, is the case of Mrs. Kelly versus Mr. Kelly.
Mr. and Mrs. Kelly. Good evening. And where are you folks from?
Miami, Florida.
Oh, from Florida. Well, that's wonderful. I see you came up to New York to escape the heat, I guess.
Huh? Get some heat.
What'd you say?
To get some heat.
To get some heat. You mean to cool it down in Florida.
And how?
Well, Mr. Kelly, is your profession? What business are you in?
I'm in the newspaper business on the Miami Beach Morning Star.
You're with the Miami Beach... What are you, a newspaper reporter or something?
I'm a newspaper pressman.
You work in the press?
In the press, though.
I see. I understand. And, Mrs. Kelly, how did you happen to come to our court?
Well, I wrote a letter several weeks before arriving here asking for an opportunity to air a little grievance that I have with my husband.
Oh, well, that's well. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just admiring your lovely southern accent. Were you born in the South, Mrs. Kelly?
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and I married a Yankee.
You married... This isn't Joe DiMaggio here, there. Oh, a Yankee. Well, that's better than marrying a Brooklyn Dodger. Now, tell me... No, I'm kidding. Tell me, who has the grievance? You, Mr.
I have the grievance, Your Honor.
Will you, let's settle this between the North and the South. We don't want another civil war here tonight. Would you explain the grievance, please, to the court and the jury, please?
Well, my husband is a bug on experimenting with chemicals. And one of these days, well, he's going to make some of these chemicals, and we're going to be blown completely out of our house.
Now, wait a minute. This is a very peculiar grievance. Mr. Kelly, is this true that you fool around with chemicals? And...
Yes, Your Honor, it's true. I'm trying to produce something where I can make more money. You see, I've been married a year and a half now, and I've put 24 pounds on my wife in a year and a half. What will it be in 5 years?
Well, I see what you mean. Well, how does he go about this by annoying you with these chemicals? What does he do?
Well, he mixes these chemicals in my meat pot. He's worse than a bride.
He mixes the chemicals in your meat pot?
Yes, sir, he does.
Well, Mr. Kelly, if you mix your chemicals in Mrs. Kelly's meat pot, aren't you afraid that your food may taste a little peculiar sometimes?
Oh, no, Judge.
No?
There won't be any change in that. They both taste the same.
All right, all right, all right. I see. And, how long you two been married?
A year and a half.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You must invite me over for dinner sometime.
Well?
I'd probably get a big bang out of your meatball.
Probably.
Mr. Kelly... Did you actually ever invent anything?
No, I haven't so far, Your Honor. I don't know much about chemicals.
Well, how do you get these chemicals? Where do you buy them?
Oh, I couldn't afford to buy them. I send away for free samples at different chemical companies.
You send away for free samples,
so
and
I
then
can
you
experiment.
Abide by the rules of the book and mix them?
Oh, no, Your Honor. If I abide by the rules, I'm just producing something somebody else made. If the chemist makes up the formula and I duplicate it, what good is that? I mix them in my own way.
Wait a minute, honey. You mix the chemicals your own way, the way you want to mix them?
Sure, that's to produce something new. Once in a while, it don't work so good, but...
Oh, no, of course not. Sure. Now, Mrs. Kelly, you have the grievance, so tell the court something about your husband's latest experiment. Will you do that for us?
Well,
please?
He's making a hand cleaner.
A hand cleaner?
Yes, sir, with the Florida powdered sand. You think you were walking into Miami Beach when you come into our apartment. There's sand every place.
Yeah,
in the bed, in the food.
All right. I see. Do you happen to have any chemicals in your pocket tonight, Mr.
No, I forgot to bring some.
We'd like to stay on the air another 10 minutes. That's the reason. Evidence is presented. The case now goes to jury. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the issue in this case, you must decide, is who put the magnesium in Mrs. Kelly's meatball? Now let's hear the verdict of the jury. What's the verdict?
The jury has voted 10-2 in favor of Mrs. Kelly.
Well, thank you, sir.
Mrs. Kelly has won the case with 10 jurors in her favor and received court damages of $100. Now, Mr. Kelly, since you received a fair and square deal, I think that you should promise your wife that you won't do any more experimenting in the kitchen. Now, in the position of the court of petty grievance, let's see you both kiss and make up. Go ahead. There we go. Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I sort of sympathize with Mr. Kelly because I'm somewhat of an inventor myself.
Your Honor, what do you know about inventions?
What do I know? What do I know? What do I know? I know plenty, bailiff. The steamboat was invented by Fulton. The cotton gin was invented by Whitney. The radio was invented by Macaroni.
No. Not Macaroni, Marconi.
I'm sorry, I didn't use my noodle. Bailiff, call the next case, please.
All right, Your Honor, here comes the next case on your calendar tonight. This is the case of Mrs. Cahan versus Mr. Cahan.
Mr. and Mrs. Cahan, is that right? Good evening. And where are you folks from, New York?
No, I'm from Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
How are the mosquitoes there this summer? There's
a good crop out there this year.
Mr. Cahan, what business are you in?
I happen to be a radio salesman.
Radio?
Salesman. Yeah.
Did Mr. Kelly, the inventor, ever send for a free sample of the man that was...
No, not quite. Not yet.
Mr. Cahan, how long have you been married?
About 2.5 years.
How long have you been married?
2.5 years.
It's a coincidence, isn't it? You look like a happy couple, but one of you must have a grievance. Who's the bitter half?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Would you please state your grievance, please?
Well, my husband thinks he can play the trumpet.
What do you mean, think?
All right, please. Let the lady speak.
And as it happens, he plays very badly and is quite disturbing to the neighbors and myself.
I see. And that is your grievance.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Cahan, do you think that your wife is justified in her
grievance? No, no. The trouble with my wife and as well as the neighbors is they just don't have ears for music.
As it happens, I have a very good ear for music, and that's what's bothering me. The sour note.
The sour note. Well, I know a lot of people in the music world. Okay, and I see that you have your trumpet with you.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Right here. How long have you been playing it?
Well, about 3 years, on and off.
Mostly off, I see. Does it seem that long to you?
Well, to me, it seems like 20 years
since I've
been hearing that.
I see. When does your husband play practice on the song?
Well, as it happens, he picks very inconvenient hours up. 7:30 when the neighbors are trying to put their children to sleep.
He wakes up the kids, huh?
He doesn't let them get to sleep.
What does he play, reveille or something? Do you have any children of your own?
No, I don't.
I see. Just the trumpet. Mr. Cahan, does your trumpet playing annoy your friends?
No, my friends are well distributed throughout the city.
Well, I guess the trumpet did that. How do you compare yourself with Harry James?
He's a little better than I am, I guess.
May I look at this trumpet?
Yeah.
Where did you get this trumpet?
I picked it up in a hock shop on 8th Avenue one time.
Did you meet Ray Milland over there? I thought about it. I'll tell you what, Mr. Cahan. In order to help the jury reach a decision, why don't you play something for us on your trumpet? What is your favorite song?
Oh, I've been practicing Home, Home on the Range.
Well, what you've been practicing and what you're going to play are two different things. What would you like to play?
I like to play Home
on the
Range.
Yeah.
I understand. I might be a little nervous, you know, but...
That's enough! All right.
How'd you like it?
Case goes to the jury. Case goes to the jury. You play in sweet, but it comes out sour. Very nice. I think the jury has enough evidence now. Ladies and gentlemen, jury, this is a very simple case. In fact, it's so simple I'm confused. According to Mr. Cahan, his wife doesn't let him play his trumpet, yet whenever he walks into the room with it, she tells him to blow. Awesome. All right, let's find out the jury's verdict. What's the verdict, Foreman?
The jury has voted 9-3 in favor of Mrs. Cahan.
Mrs. Cahan. Mrs. Cahan has won the case with 9 jurors in her favor and received court damages of $90. Now, Mr. Cahan, you should do one or two things to make your pretty wife happy. One, invest in a good music cause. And two, buy your wife a pair of soundproof earmuffs. Now, in addition to the court of petty grievances, let's see you kiss and make up. Go ahead, kiss. That's all. Court adjourned.
The Armed Forces Radio Service.